A special shout out to our sponsors, the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. We're now fully open for business. We're ready to serve you at our flagship restaurant, Trust, Rare Society, Cardellino, and Fort Oak. Executive chef and co-owner Brad Wise wants to share his love of good eats with our San Diego community. Chef Brad uses locally sourced ingredients that change with the season. Trust staff's aim is to provide their patrons with great food, cocktails, wine, and service. We invite you to come to any of our fine restaurants for a meal of a lifetime. In good food, we trust. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome to the episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Like always, I'm joined by U.S. Eagle, MLL star, my favorite rugby player, my friend, my colleague, Nate Augsburger. What's happening, my brother?
Yo, what's up, CJ? I'm in full off-season mode, but I decided to rock the Legion polo today.
I ain't mad at you. And also joining us, our favorite co-host, let me just say this, get it out there, celebrity chef, host of the Chef Rock Show, one of the best chefs I know, my friend, colleague, mentor. Chef Rock, what's up, my brother? How you doing?
All right. What's up, gents? How we doing today?
We're doing good, man.
We're doing good, my friend. Doing good.
We're feeling good, looking good. You guys are looking good, all happy. Nate, you look good because season's over. You get to rest a little bit.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't, but hey, that's the cards I'm dealt, baby.
So Chef Rock, we will say to you that you look good, even though we're probably lying to you, but we do it anyway because we have to. So
I'll take that as a compliment, CJ, right on, anyway.
Right on. Okay. So this episode is all about Nate. Nate's on the hot seat again. We're talking about the San Diego Legion season, the future of the San Diego Legion, the playoffs, the draft, everything Nate's going to talk about. We'll get Nate's perspective. So, Nate, I'll throw it right at you. Throw it right out there. 6-10 this season, several years ago, third place, first place in a short season. Now you were in fourth place, ninth overall in the league, but fourth place in the Western Conference. Talk to me, man. How you feel about that? What's your plans? What's your goals? How you get back to being number one again? Because you had 2 years when you ended number one.
Yeah, I think, looking back at the season, obviously, as the season was coming to an end, we already knew we were eliminated. So I've been able to, I think a lot of us have already kind of started, you know, taking our notes and figuring out what all these tough lessons that we had to learn and how can we get better from them. There's one nice thing about when you're humbled is it usually sparks something in you. It makes you feel like you have more to go. It makes you feel like you got to find new ways of doing things so that you can be better. So that's always the good part. And I think that's definitely something that we're going to have to use to our advantage when you start thinking about how do we bounce back in the upcoming season. So, we're definitely not up to standard, CJ, and we all knew that. And right now it's really about, all right, we've had 2 weeks now where we haven't been competing anymore. Our team's got guys flying back across the world to go home. We got some guys that are still around, and we've had all of our like one-on-ones with coaches, kind of our closeout meetings and a closeout dinner as a team to kind of just wrap the season up. And so I know I can say this for sure and wholeheartedly that all the players that were a part of this season, regardless of whether they intend to be back or not, or will be back or not, I think everybody felt like this is a place that they'd love to come back to. Right. This is a team they'd love to come back with and right some of the wrongs. So I think that's a really it's a really encouraging thing to see and to hear from other teammates, and guys are hungrier from having a season like we've had.
So you have that conversation in the exit interview, like, you know, everybody has the exit interview when the season's over. Do you tell your coach, like, I'm coming back because I'm super excited about where we ended as a team, the camaraderie as a team, the players that we had here. We just, you know, again, obviously, let's look at everything in the big picture. Starting your season off in Vegas, right? Not in San Diego, not in your hometown. you kind of displaced a little bit because of COVID, and then you come back to San Diego, you know, just being displaced a little bit, that kind of, you know, gives you a little disadvantage to other teams and stuff like that. So there was some, areas where the team itself, you know, could have gotten really down on themselves because of where they were at. And then they had some, unfortunately, you had some injuries, other players had some injuries, those things happen. So you say in your exit interview to the coach and the player personnel people, look, this all happened. We're coming back, bringing everybody back together, because I'm super excited about putting my best foot forward next season.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, so just to paint the picture, our exit interviews consist of a one-on-one with the coaches, where it's the player, and then it's the coaching staff and also a team manager. Right. So I think, and our strength and conditioning coach, Ryan Gallup, would be there too. So I think it's taking the whole picture of the season and allowing us to have conversations about specifics, but also the overview. And CJ, you already listed a bunch of really valid reasons on why we may have fell short from what we had hoped this year. And I think those reasons are something that whenever you talk about, whether it's to the coaches or to anybody about the season, those are valid reasons. But I think for us as players and as people, we're going to move this thing forward. How, for me especially, how can I move those things aside and really look at what we did with what we could control? And I think there's a lot more positives when you start to look at it that way. Guys not giving up on the season, guys staying in the fight all the way, guys genuinely trying to, you know, we got 3 weeks left in the season and guys are still coming in looking for extras, watching their film, like professional tendencies were showing, even though we might have been out of the comp. So I think those are the positive things I look at. And then there's also other things that within the house of the team or in-house, I think we all know that there's some things that we could fix and maybe go about doing some things differently. And it's all only going to be better when we're staying in San Diego for an entire season. We're going to have a whole off season where we can make adjustments. Like, the owners want to get us in the best possible to perform as well. They're not just sitting there going, we would have expected you guys to rise above everything. They totally know and are in touch with us to know what needs to be done. So, I mean, you just start thinking about the confidence that's going to breed for us in the upcoming season.
Yeah, on all organized sports, so you have a tendency to, you know, I mean, there's 12 teams in the MLR and only playing next or this weekend coming up, right, for the championship. So there's 10 teams that are doing exactly what the Legion's doing and are reevaluating what happened this year. How do we improve next year? Who do we keep? Who do we try to get? I guess it's just like any other team, you know, things will change next year, especially when you think you might have a team that you think would win it next year. But then maybe only half those guys come back. Or so how does that work with you guys? Do you get some updates? Like when do they decide who's staying and who's going?
They'll start deciding a lot of those things now, Chef, like straight away. And I'm sure there's even, you know, Rooney had an early exit in the semifinal last weekend. Utah did as well. And even those teams would have probably already been laying some type of foundation for what needs to happen for the next season. Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things you do try and stay one step ahead and you try and know exactly where you're at, even while you're still competing for a championship. No different than like other professional sports. It happens quite often, right? You find out like this coach is actually going to be leaving and is being recruited for a head coaching job on another team.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, San Diego Legions have a good management program, a good management team. The ownership's good. So I'm sure they're already planning ahead of time before the even season. You know, last couple of games of the season, they're already thinking about next season, who to bring back and what to do. And, you know, how to prepare for it. And then also stabilizing the organization, making sure that you're in San Diego. You know, COVID is still running rampant, you know what I'm saying? But you know, the thing is that hopefully by next season, it'd be kind of under control. And then the environment and the fans, you don't know how important fans are to a team. You know, when you come home to play a game or you guys played on the road several times and you actually, I'm not sure, I was trying to look it up and I was trying to make sure, but I think you had a better away record than you had a home record, right? This season, right?
If you count Chula Vista Training Center, as an away game, then definitely we've done better away than we did the couple games that we got at our proper home at Torero.
So if you put that together and you say, hey, we played great as an away team. So then when we come back next season, we start, right. we focus on home, have a home crowd and the fans with us. I think you're going to have something special next season. So, you know, what's coming up, you know, in the immediate future for you, Nate, and what you plan to do and, you know, the future podcasting we're going to be doing, stuff like that, the draft, what you think of what's going on right now in the world of MLR.
First and foremost, I mean, obviously, I'm going to be in San Diego. This is where me and my wife live. So I'm hoping to definitely be a part of the group that gets the right the wrongs from this season for next season. In the immediate future, I mean, even today, I had an honest man's day work. I went and installed some cabinets and stuff. That's
good for you.
I can do anything, guys. You know,
yeah, that's unbelievable.
I get taught something, I can do it. So I'm actually, I'll do some of that. And then coaching, the San Diego Legion Academy will definitely get going here as the off season, starts up. I know kids are going to be going back to school, but there's definitely going to be a desire to get the San Diego Legion Academy out in the community with our players helping coach, and get.
So what, let me hold you, I mean, real quick, where do kids go? Let's say someone's listening to this podcast, they want to sign up and go to the academy. They just go to sandiegolegion.com or something like that, or where do they go?
Well, San Diego Legion, I don't think sandiegolegion.com has a whole academy set up yet. And our academy in up to this stage has been players who coach going out into the community and coaching. So it's kind of like an affiliate with San Diego Legion to go help their club.
Oh, gotcha.
Training camp. That's right. What it's been. Otherwise, there is a group of, I think, 10 to 12 younger players, obviously guys who have a future that are going to be able to train and would be training with our academy. So it's kind of a two-headed monster as far as involvement with the San Diego Legion Academy.
Okay.
And then this past weekend, I went to a massive under 14s was the youngest age. So any kids under 14 years old, all the way up to under 23. So that includes U18, U16, U14. I went to a massive tournament this past weekend, watched a lot of high school kids compete their guts out, both boys and girls. There was thousands of people there. There was, you know, had to have been 30 to 40 teams there. And it was just amazing to see everybody hungry for rugby, because I think the one thing is, you know, huge, huge kudos to the MLR. No canceled games throughout an entire COVID period, where in other places in the world, games have been canceled. And then
even the Olympics players are getting sent home and stuff because of COVID and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the thing we forget is that actually a lot of club rugby has been on hold for even longer. I think men's club sevens has started up and they're going to have nationals coming up here soon. But as far as kid high school, lower level rugby, it's just been a hard grind for those guys. So to see a bunch of kids out there competing and playing hard was awesome. And, you know, kudos to Rhinos Rugby Academy for getting a bunch of teams up there so they could compete.
Yeah, we get, you know, rugby is, I'm sorry, Chef, I'll let you speak in one second. Okay. I just want to put that out there. We get a lot of response to the podcast on our Instagram account. So I think that the uptick already is happening even bigger in rugby in the United States. I think you guys have a lot to do with that. And the MLR has a lot to do with that. And San Diego is a perfect city for rugby. You know, climate all year long, you could play, you know, 12 months out of the year. Yeah, awesome. Go ahead, Chef.
Tell me about it. And when I was growing up in Minnesota all those years, I'd have to find an indoor facility. I'd be kicking in a basketball gym or doing rugby practice in a basketball gym half the time, you know?
I wanted to give a big shout out to San Diego Fan Club for the Legion. I don't know if you realize. I mean, I didn't see the latest fan count, but it was a couple thousand people. And they comment all the time. They're constantly posting. So I jump in there every now and then and send them the quick tap. Get out of the seat, Nate. It's starting to build. And it's kind of cool to see because it's grassroots. You know, you have the people that come to the games all the time. But there are a lot of people that just don't go to the games. but are still fans and watch it on TV.
Right.
And I think building that base, you're going on, this is what year four. You hit that 5-year mark next season. And I really think that you're going to develop this fan base that's going to fill the stadium wherever it happens to be. Are they still playing next year in the same stadium, Tolero?
I'm not sure, Chef. I think Torero is definitely still a desired place to be. Mm-hmm. But the other development locally here in San Diego, as you guys would know, is Qualcomm. The refurbishing they're doing of that stadium, right. I've heard that it's going to be a multi-sport stadium, multifaceted, and obviously SDSU is going to handle majority of the benefits of that new stadium. So. Yeah. You know, maybe we slide in there, and that
would actually. I drove by it the other day, Nate. It's a big pile of sand right now.
Ah, dude, let me tell you. I live next door to it, pretty much. Yeah, so I drive by it every single day. It's actually built. It's actually got the stadium like silhouette already built for our actual stadium.
No kidding.
So it's actually up like a stadium right now. And it's interesting because it's really close to the street. And like before, Qualcomm Stadium was really far in. So it's actually really close to the street. It's going to be massive. But, you know, again, it's like Nate said, it's going to be lots of different, you know, sports being played there in that facility. So that'd be an ideal place for the San Diego Legion in the future to play. I'd be super excited. But I also hate, it's been super great that the Chargers are not here because I don't have to deal with traffic. It was horrible. I hated it with a passion, but yeah, the San Diego State coming back. Most of the students will probably not drive cars there. They will actually take the trolley from the college down. So I think it'd be traffic won't be as bad, but it'd definitely be an ideal situation for the San Diego Legion to play in. So Nate, we got the MLR draft coming up, man. Talk to us about that. What you're looking for? What your expectations are? Do you have some players that you're thinking about, or you would like the San Diego Legion to draft? And you know, give us some insight to the draft. What's going on?
I'll be honest. Say it again, CJ.
And also what you're planning to do? You're going to cover the draft a little bit through the podcast, right?
Yeah. So I think with the podcast, we'll have some fun. Patrick Madden is a local San Diego guy, so I'm hoping to get him involved. And obviously, he's a little closer to the collegiate rugby scene. He'd probably have a better idea of which players are on the menu. But for me, I mean, I just get excited about it. I think, like you said, we'll cover it on the podcast. We'll try and build this thing up. I think it's always great to encourage a pathway that goes through college, right? Because encourages people to get their education. It allows kids to develop a little bit more. Like when I graduated high school, I needed those 4 years to develop to touch the kind of level that I ended up getting to. I couldn't just rock up as an 18-year-old. Now some guys will, and that'll be great. And hopefully the academies are in place for those guys too. But I just think it's something that you get excited about. And my thing is that I think there was probably 5 or 6 guys, both Pat and Colzar Cone, our draft picks. Colzar Cone got in there and scored a couple tries. Pat had a little bit more limited time, but he was good with his development throughout the season and got himself in the roster late. But Ryan James is somebody who wasn't in the collegiate draft, but a young guy who played really well. Connor Mooneyham is someone who was drafted. He was outstanding for the Gilgronis all year. So I think there are actually some young guys who, you know, the thing is they're coming from a place where they're the big dog. They want to get the ball. Their team wants them to have the ball and have them making a lot of decisions and stuff. When they get to this level, they can actually just do their job and focus on doing that. And I think it's kind of interesting. Some guys maybe won't adopt that as easier as other players will. And then some guys who, you know, you wouldn't think are actually going to do really good being surrounded by a lot of professional guys who are taking some of the load off. So there's a lot of good players, man. Christian Rodriguez in LA. He had a good finishing campaign. He got to start a lot at 9 late at scrum half. So I'm excited. I mean, in general, I just think it's kind of an exciting development here, and it'll be the second year for it.
And we'll look forward to your conversation with Patrick to pick up what he thinks and get into a discussion about that. Hey, I know the championship's coming up, Gilettini's in Atlanta. What do you think?
I don't know, man. The game's on Sunday in the Coliseum. So the top seed, the best record gets to host their own final, which is a big advantage, right? So Atlanta's got to make the trip. I think Atlanta and Rooney, New York played. I think if the game was in New York, I think New York would have won. Since the game was in Atlanta, I think Atlanta won. It was a 9-10 game. They won it late, and I think that was that genuinely was the difference. So L.A., Atlanta, the thing about Atlanta's game, guys, is these guys love to kick. They love to play a kicking battle. They limit the amount of mistakes that they make with the ball. And the only way I see L.A. really being able to stick it to them is they just got to be L.A. I think they're going to be brave enough to run some of the kicks back and not just try and kick back and get in the kicking battle. And, you know, if it is, then it'll be well controlled by Matt Gitto and some really class players who have played international rugby. They know how to play that kicking game, but I think LA is equipped to run it back. So Atlanta's going to kick them the ball. And I'm just really interested to see what LA chooses to do with it back to them.
Should be a fun game.
So I'm sorry, Nate, I want to go back a little bit. You know, Chef Rock kind of jumped the gun and wanted to continue. No, it's okay. Hey, great question.
We're all hyped about finals, though.
I'm excited to watch it.
So. No, great question. And we'll go back to that. But I want to go back to the college draft. And we'll talk a little bit about it in future episodes. But, you know, there's a new rule now in college where a college kid can actually sign and make money off his likeness and get endorsements and stuff. How do you think that's going to affect rugby? Because already I've seen the impact in college football. There's a high school basketball player from San Diego. He just signed a multi-million dollar deal, and he's only in 11th grade. He's actually already signed, and he's a smooth, one of the best basketball players I've ever seen. He's actually traveled to a different city. He's from San Diego. He actually plays in North Carolina or something like that. But anyway, he signed a multi-million dollar deal already. So how's that impact college rugby? Or can it impact college rugby? Or will you think players will actually come up from overseas and play college rugby here because they can make money off endorsements and make money? Because you monetize your likeness, you can sign several deals with different companies.
No, I hear you, CJ. So one really interesting dynamic, right? And I think all the old heads in America and NCAA have been holding out for this for a long time. Rugby primarily isn't an NCAA sport.
Right.
Rugby's generally been club or varsity or mixed in. There's a few teams that are under NCAA. So I think it's another pathway for someone to go, yeah, rugby's cool, but I have a bit more of a future or more of a financial opportunity or gain if I choose this sport. So people trying to go for the NFL or trying to go play football, it's like even more so than ever.
But see, that's the thing. You don't have to play professional football to make $1 million. The quarterback for Alabama
high school.
Yeah, quarterback from Alabama's already made like $2 million. I think Master P's son has already made like $10 million, and he's just a college. He's going to a historically black college, so he's not even going to a big college. So again, I don't think you have to go say I want to make it to the NFL. I just want to play 4 years in college and monetize my likeness. So my thing is that if players can monetize their likeness and make money, maybe more players will actually come here and play versus staying overseas or something like that. I think the question I was asking is, will that encourage players to come to the United States to play college rugby, or will they not do? Will that not help them at all?
It could potentially. I mean, it just really depends on how the being able to monetize off your likeness affects the college rugby scene or the rugby scene in general. For that, I still, at the end of the day, I think rugby, and this would be my take on it, I think rugby has not been an NCAA sport for a various amount of reasons, but I think there's like a goodness in it because it's kind of been separate. I mean, the spirit of the game is different from a football, from a basketball. And so I think in a way we're keeping those values at the heart of the game, which I think is healthy for the game. And I'd rather see the game grow with that in mind. However, I want to see some people get make their money. You know, I want to I want to see guys not have to do what I did. You know, move and you know, make this and have to make some real sacrifices with their life. You know, because rugby is not the you know flashiest road to go down. You know, it's actually a really humble a humble path to take. So that's kind of where I stand with it.
I think the Olympics is going to help that a little bit, rugby. I think the exposure is going to get through the Olympics. Some of the things I've been seeing, advertisements and stuff like that right now, I think it's going to make kids go, wow, you know what I'm saying? I could do this and make money at it and do a living. So I'm super I'm super excited for where it's going. And I hope that, that they can make money in college as well. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny that you say that. And I'm thinking how some of the old football players that I have met from the 60s and 70s, like, and Davidson. And
okay, so this is where we go story. With the this is where we go with the Chef Rock stories, ladies.
No,
and
this
gentlemen.
Isn't. No.
Ladies
no,
and gentlemen, welcome
for
to
you,
the Chef Rock story.
So this is like he would tell me the stories. You know, they made $25,000 a year. You know, to play football, and they all had jobs afterwards when they left.
Right.
You know, and I think you guys are at that stage right now where you guys are the base, and now like with CJ, you're saying some of these kids might be able to make some extra moolah by endorsements through college. And all of a sudden that, I mean, that wasn't around. All of a sudden that's around. And some of these kids might say, hey, you know what? I can make a lot of money doing rugby because nobody's doing it. You know, and now all of a sudden I go for all these endorsements.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a way to get some other, you know, cross players like, you know, or football players that play, you know, in college and go, man, if I do rugby, nobody's there, you know, and it's building.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your guy's base is jumping up. So I think it's good. I really agree that it's long overdue, but for
that
rugby,
makes sense.
I think it is potential for getting everyone up the old scale of salaries.
That makes sense.
Boosted up.
That's, you know what? As long as we've been doing the podcast, that is probably the most intelligent answer that you've given on this show. And I want to commend that right now and say, hey, thank you very much.
What's he talking about? Jeez, can I go get a hunk of milk?
So I want to say, firstly, thank you.
No, that's beautiful. Now, can I tell my story?
Now, tell your story. This is your story.
It's a quick story. It's, well, none of mine are quick, but it's the first time I actually ever met rugby players.
Right.
So when I first moved out here, there was a place, Oakwood Gardens. It was like these apartment complexes in Pacific Beach where a lot of young people live. Right. And we lived there, and it was a bunch of guys I came out to California with. A friend of ours, his nurse, had a bunch of friends. She was having a birthday party. So we go to the birthday party.
Was she a rugby player too?
What's that?
Was she a rugby player too? Or
No, but all her friends were.
Oh, okay. All right.
So these guys come down from LA, and it's the LA rugby team, some club. So for whatever reason, the guy walks, and I'm with my brother, was out, you know, living with us at the time. For whatever reason, a guy walks right up to me and just punches me right in the face. Didn't say a word. Didn't introduce himself. Just came up to me, wanted to punch me. Punches me right in the eye. I go to the ground. Now I got like 10 rugby guys on me. So my brother's like, oh, how the hell do I get him out? So he reaches in and grabs this guy by the hair. And he pulls his head out and punches him. And guess who it was? Me. I looked up and my brother just punched me in the face.
Hey, so there's two parts of that story that's funny. One is that you had hair. That's one.
That is funny
because you don't have
it. Funny. No.
Two, you must have a face that people want to punch because
I don't know why.
It's like, why would someone walk up to you and punch you?
I don't know why people would come up to me, you know, but it was funny because it was a rugby team. And I go, I always remember that damn rugby team. Which savages.
And now you're doing a podcast about rugby.
So I know, and I'm calling those guys out. Hey, after 30 years, I'm calling them out.
And that guy set you up for a future Chef Rock story.
Now take
this moment to thank him for punching you in the face.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Jeff, I don't promote violence, but if you played an 80-minute game and you have one or two beers, it's not like a normal one or two beers. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. You know, and I didn't even know who the guy was. I never even saw him again, but you know, we stayed for the rest of the party.
And with a black eye?
I had a big black eye.
No, you had two. He hit you and your brother.
It's been a good party.
So you had
my
pay.
Brother. Hey, my brother hit me. Yeah.
I hope you're in the same eye.
Yeah. My one good eye hits me in. You know, no, it was pretty funny. I always remember that.
Hey, so thank you, Chef Rock, man. It always makes me laugh, and I appreciate the Chef Rock stories. We got to focus more on those every once in a while. So, tell us, man. We got about a minute and a half left of this podcast. Right. Talk about the future, next couple episodes you got planned for the podcast. What you're going to talk about? Who's going to be on the show? And what's things? Okay, let me clear. Like I all of a sudden became stupid.
No, that's okay. I'm used to it.
What's the next show is going to look like, brother?
No, you know what's funny is it's not funny, but I know from my end, one of our sponsors, the Trust Restaurant Group, I'm going to be heading over to the Rare Society Restaurant, one of their steakhouses, and I'm going to have an interview with the chef, taste some of his food, and thank them for their support of our podcast.
Awesome, bro.
Maybe guys, you have somebody over there too. You're going to eat some meat.
That's right. And guys, I think for me, there's some exciting USA rugby stuff coming up, both men's and women's. I think we'll be able to talk about that. Try and keep it all things rugby. Like I said, I would love for us here locally in San Diego to maybe search out some of the grassroots people of the rugby community. Maybe we can get them on it and share their perspective. I think that'd be really cool. Right. You know, get amongst the club rugby scene with nationals. And I think that'll be plenty. I mean, we'll be keeping it all things rugby. We'll keep it relative. You know, shout out to the men who are at the Olympics. Tough quarterfinal loss, but we've drew Canada in our next match to battle it out for the fifth place. Yeah. I don't think there could be a better team to try and take out our frustration of a quarterfinal loss too. So that'll be good. And all things rugby, all things community, baby. We'll just keep exposing how great it is just to be around this sport. And just keep raising the level, raise the bar.
Sounds good, awesome, brother. Gentlemen,
thank you very much. I appreciate another great episode, man. Nate, I love you, man. Good luck the next couple
appreciate
episodes.
Y'all, man.
All right. Quick tap out, brothers. Peace out.
Quick tap out.